Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do praise You, and You are a wonder that we fully can't comprehend, that we fully won't understand the depths and the measure of Your love that You have for us. I pray, Lord, as we approach Your Word this morning, that You might speak to us, You might open up our hearts. I pray that You might continue to sanctify us. I pray that we might continue to surrender our will to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have been going through our study of the Sermon on the Mount, the one thing that I've absolutely enjoyed about the series is that it has approached some of the items that we encounter on a daily basis as a believer. What should our responses be to lost people? How should we conduct ourselves? We saw that in our study that we just finished on oaths. Now, as we continue that study, we are going to bridge the topic of vengeance and rights. I think it's a very appropriate topic. I think one of the things that the church has lost in our society today is the mission that our primary purpose for the church itself on a Sunday morning is to equip believers in how they should live our life. It shouldn't be worried about a head count. We should be worried about equipping. We're to go out and make disciples, save people. We're to come in and be equipped so that we can follow the Lord correctly. So with that being said, we're going to look at our focal passage this morning, Matthew 5, starting in the 38th verse. As Christ continues to teach, He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him take away your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." As we look at this passage this morning, it's safe to say that this passage is one of the most misused groups of verses in all the Bible. It has been used by those who oppose the death penalty to support their arguments. It has been used by pacifists to support their arguments. And it has been used by the offenders of men to justify their mistreatment of others or to claim hypocrisy upon believers. So as we study these verses today, and I think it will take 3 or 4 Sundays to get through this study within a study, if you will, we should rightly divide the word of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:14 through 16. He said, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." So as we start our study this morning, the question at hand is Jesus teaching a new law? Some people have said that Jesus is teaching a new law, a new law on top of the old law. Let's go to Exodus 21. Exodus 21, and at first we're going to look just at verses 24 through 25. Exodus 21, 24 and 25. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This has been a misused verse as well. We've seen people use Exodus 21 24 completely out of context. How do we rightly divide the word of truth? Here in 24, we see eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Back in our focal passage of Matthew 5:38 and 39, Christ is telling us to turn the cheek. Is Jesus teaching a new commandment? Is he contradicting himself? Because after all, in Matthew 5:17 through 19, he says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So Christ says he's come to fulfill the law. He says the law will stand until heaven and earth pass away. So is he contradicting himself? Because later in Matthew 5, he says, turn the other cheek. Let's go back to Exodus 21. So if we took eye for eye, tooth for tooth out of context and let that just stand on its own, it looks like Christ is contradicting himself, because after all, he said, all of the law will be fulfilled. But as we rightly divide the word of truth, when you look at the beginning of Exodus 21, it reads, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them." I'm reading from the King James Version. "If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, in the seventh year he shall go out for nothing." As we look at Exodus 21, as we should always do, we should ask ourselves, first of all, in what context is eye for eye, tooth for tooth written? So let me ask you a question. At the writing of Exodus 21, does Israel have a king that is a man? They don't. God is setting up a theocracy. He's in charge. God's the king. And as God is the king, and as all governments have a civil code, God is establishing in Exodus 21 the civil code for the nation of Israel. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Now let's look at a couple of other verses in the Old Testament that point out this fact. First, let's go to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. Look at verse 15. "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any inquiry or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear in fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot." Leviticus 24, starting in verse 17. "Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor as he has done, so shall it be done to him." Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. "As he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him." And whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger and one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. Some people look at those verses and they try to portray God as some bloodthirsty God, but that's not what I see in those verses. What I see is a God of justice. He's establishing the civil code of His nation. That's what our country was built upon. We've forgotten that. Our court system was designed to have justice. Do you remember that phrase? The time should fit the crime. The punishment should fit the crime. And so as criminals appeared before our court system, they were punished according to their crime. People that use Matthew 5 to argue against the death penalty are taking that verse completely out of context. God is a God of justice. He demands justice. See, so much of Matthew 5, and as we look at the whole Word of God, is trying to determine the true character of God. Now, liberals will tell you, well, that was the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament was wrath. The God of the New Testament is love. You ever heard that before? That's not true. God is a God of justice. In fact, God tells us through His Word that He does not change. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With those two verses, can I make the claim that God changes? That the God of the Old Testament was wrath and the God of the New Testament is love? That would violate His own words. He's already told us that He does not change. He is the same. So I have to take Matthew 5 and I have to look at it in context with the rest of the Bible and ask myself, what is Jesus teaching here? Because Jesus has already said that He has not come to destroy the law. So if God's character doesn't change, if He said that in the New Testament, can I find then the God of justice in the New Testament? Yes, you can. Let's go to Galatians 6, 6 through 8. Galatians 6, verses 6 through 8. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. That he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's justice, isn't it? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, reap what you sow. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank? A plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Reap what you sow. Measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Are you seeing a God of justice here in His Word? It's there, isn't it? Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. My friends, at the end of time, the books will be opened. The books will be opened. And the lost will stand before Him, and they will be judged. And just as heaven is not pass or fail, hell is not pass or fail, and each lost person will be given an appropriate judgment in hell according to their works. There are different degrees in hell. Why is that? Because God is a God of justice. When we stand before Him as believers, we will be given rewards according to our works. The Bible says some of us will be a little toasty when we get through, but we'll make it through on the blood of Jesus Christ. But we will be given rewards. And why are we given rewards? We are given rewards because God is a God of justice. That is such an important characteristic of God for us to have as we view Him. He's fair. He makes everything right. And He has ordained civil governments to pass out appropriate justice in the courts. Somebody kills someone, they should face execution. The punishment should fit the crime. Why do we have so much crime in our country today? Because we have gotten soft on justice. You can just go to countries that take a hard stance against crime, and they have capital punishment, they have the appropriate punishment for other crimes, and guess what? They don't have as much crime as we do. And it's sad that a lot of these nations don't even know the Lord, but their court system is based upon justice. Instead, we have taken the fool's lie and said that we could rehabilitate people apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot rehabilitate a sinner, can you? They're going to be a sinner. We're sinners saved by grace, and through God working through us, we have the sanctifying power, and He is changing us and molding us and moving us. But we're foolish in this country to think that we can put prisoners in prisons that look like country clubs and expect them to do the right thing when they get out. The punishment should fit the crime. Penitentiary, where did that word come from? Penance. Penance. Our whole system today is based upon a lie of rehabilitation. We can't rehabilitate. We're okay in having capital punishment. So what's Christ teaching about? Well, just as the Pharisees had mistaught the word on oaths. They were teaching an incorrect view of justice. They were allowing people to go out and perform their own action of justice, a vigilante justice, if you will. God doesn't ordain that. God ordains a government having a civil code based upon His truth. So think about it. Exodus 21. God outlines His civil code. Am I right then in going out and taking justice in my own hands apart from a government? No, I'm not right in doing that. I should strive for a government that supports true justice. And I should rely upon the government to execute that form of justice within the courts. I can't imagine a world where we did not have a civil system. Unfortunately, that is becoming more of a reality as our governments fall apart. Just look at Detroit. In Detroit, they can't afford police officers. They can't afford firefighters. So you have normal, everyday citizens that have bound together and are forming their own police force within the community just to protect their citizens. Why did that happen? We could say economic problems, but that's really not it. That's just a symptom. The true sin is that people have forgotten about God. They've thought that they could create their own rules. Detroit was irresponsible and spent themselves into a pit, and they can't climb out of it. And because of that, the people suffer. Government has a responsibility to protect its citizens and have a civil code, and instead, we are seeing that fall apart in our country today. How many times do you see criminals get a slap on the wrist after they've committed some horrible crime? Justice is okay. True justice in the life of a believer. God ordains it in the civil code. And as we continue in our study in the following weeks, now we're going to look at what Christ is speaking of as our individual responsibility as believers. God is a God of order, and God is a God of justice. Our Father, I just thank You this morning that You are a God of justice, that You're righteous, that You're holy, that everything's true and correct. We know one day You're coming to make everything right. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who needs to make a decision for You today, Lord, that they would do so this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning?